Thank you indeed, Lord, for the cross, because without that sacrifice, and without the subsequent resurrection, we're all just wasting our time here. Without that price that you paid for all of us to be with you, there would be no hope for us. So yes, indeed, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you did. Lord, I just pray that you'll open our hearts to hear from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could take all the words that have ever been written and write them up on the sky, I wonder if we would block out the sun. If man once sought to build the Tower of Babel and it was thwarted by the Almighty, but we seek to build it again with bricks of books and cupolas of commentary. If all the words were spoken at once that have ever been spoken, would we all be deafened by the noise? Everyone carries a soapbox. So often, the contents of one's platform could use an application of the former contents of one's platform. But the platform is so much easier to carry when it's empty. The word is a wonderful abstraction, a collection of sounds or a collection of letters. It can be heard, can be seen, can even be felt. And yet, it has no substance, and yet it defines everything. What a paradox is the word. The same words from one person are priceless, and from another, they are worthless. Words can both destroy and create. They are a murderer's knife and a surgeon's scalpel. They are a deadly poison and a healing tonic. Oh, that we would know the power behind our words. Because the power of the word is in the speaker. We throw them around as if they were refuse, and we don't seem to care where they land. We expect others to believe what we say, and yet we fail to honor our own word. We hurl them in anger and then act surprised when they come flying back. We see our own wounds and at the same time fail to see how we have wounded others. We grow a thick skin, and that makes us hurt less, but it also makes us less able to feel. Where is the truth? If we build with words, where is the foundation that would support such a structure? Is it not amazing that the creator of the universe reveals himself in one aspect as the Word? The Word spoke the earth into existence. The Word created man in his own image. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is life to us. His power is in his words. And it is the measure by which all words may be judged. The enigmatic, paradoxical word, personified, purified, and glorified, is Jesus himself. Our words matter. Our words reveal our character. And they should never be treated carelessly. And we will be judged by them. Now let us hear the word on the word. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37 will be our primary text today. He starts out this way. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. To back up and give a little bit of context on this, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees after he has cast a demon out of a man that was blind and mute, and after that the man was able to see and the man able to speak. But the Pharisees said, oh, well, he's doing that by the power of the ruler of the demons, Beelzebul. Beelzebub, your statement, your translation may say. And then we have the what we call the unpardonable sin as Jesus addresses what they've said. And if we read it over in Mark, it says, because they're saying he has an unclean spirit. Well, Jesus has the Holy Spirit. And he speaks here to the Pharisees. And of the Pharisees, and he speaks in terms that apply to all of us. Because what he's saying is that our words reveal our character. This fruit tree analogy that he uses is actually, we see it a couple of other places. We see it from John the Baptist back in Matthew 3, verses 8 through 10. We see it in Jesus' own words in the warning against false prophets in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. And then he says, you brood of vipers. And he's talking to the Pharisees. He's not talking to everybody necessarily. But he's repeating again what John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3. Now, from what I've read, and I assume this is so, what people used to believe at that time was that baby snakes ate their way out of the mother. So this would have been the imagery invoked by Jesus using that terminology. And it's a fitting analogy because those who are speaking against him are destroying from within the very thing that sustains them, the law of God, which points to Jesus. But he says, your heart is in your mouth. He says, he might even have been, the way he said this, he might even have been speaking in sort of a jocular or sarcastic tone. I don't know. We lose a lot of that in our translation from the original to English. He probably spoke it in Aramaic. It went through the Greek and then to English. But he says, how can you possibly speak what is good? It's almost to say, this doesn't seem possible that you could ever say anything good because I know your heart. But doubtless they did say things that were good because they were in charge of teaching the law of Moses. And Jesus, in fact, tells them, tells the people that you ought to do what they say. So obviously not everything they say is bad, but he said then also, don't do what they do. because what they do doesn't match. But he's also saying that their character is going to be revealed. Our character is going to be revealed through what we say. They have openly rejected the one whom they should have embraced. They have attributed his good works to an evil spirit. And he says, all of us will be judged by our words. Every careless word. I don't know about you, but when I read that, that sort of makes me tremble a little bit. Because we say a lot of careless words, don't we? When you look up that, so, as always, when I encounter something that that seems a little bit hard to understand or even a little bit harsh, I want to know, well, what does it actually say? Are there different ways you can translate this word? So I look in various translations and I look back at the Greek dictionary. And you could substitute here worthless or useless. The expanded Bible, which is another version that's kind of like the Amplified Bible that you may be familiar with, expands it this way: careless, idle, thoughtless, unhelpful. Strong's has an interesting definition for this. The first definition is free from labor or at leisure. The second definition, though, which I think would be the more appropriate here, is lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. In other words, no bad pun intended, the things that we say ought to be considered and thought through before we say them. My definition of this would be words spoken without consideration. He says, by your words you shall be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. Well, whoa, how is this? We like to say talk is cheap. And we've even seen how Jesus drew a distinction between what the Pharisees said and what they did. He said, you can do what they say, don't do what they do. But eventually, our talk will betray us. How many people in recent years, if you pay any attention to the news at all, how many people's true intentions and true character have been revealed by a microphone left open? Or by something said in secret that suddenly became not so secret because somebody was taping what they said. None of us is able to maintain a facade forever. Eventually that facade slips, and in our private moments, our words reveal who we really are. And our hearts will come out. Thus, by our words, we are condemned. But then consider also Romans chapter 10, 9. We all know it well. And what does it say? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. The mouth speaking from what is inside the heart. Thus, by your words, you are justified. And on that day of judgment, which Jesus speaks of here, for those who have not believed, the books are opened. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but it sure gives one the impression that everything you've ever done is written down and you're going to be held account for it. So that there will be no doubt and no question for those who have chosen to turn away, that there's not going to be any question on that day that they deserve what they're getting. But for those whose names are in the book of life, all those sins are washed away. Those pages are going to be blank. Not because we didn't do it, but because Jesus paid the price. Even for our idle words. Amen. But this, by this we should know that our words do matter. The Bible is full of instructions about our words. We're all probably most familiar with the book of James, and I didn't put them on the screen, but I want to read a couple of things that he said. He said, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." He says again in chapter 3, verse 2, "If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." The Proverbs. You know I love the Proverbs. The Proverbs are just absolutely full of instructions on what we say. 10:11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." It says again in 15:28, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." "Where there are many words," 10:19 says, "transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." 11:11 says, "By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down." "16:28 says, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." 12:19 says, "Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment." I could go on, but you get the point. Words matter. The single best advice that I could give anyone on this subject is very simple. Think before you speak. We know the old adage, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, that was actually stolen from Proverbs 17:28, which says, "Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent." Words that do harm are most often spoken in anger or simply without forethought. And they can be especially harmful when they come from somebody whom we respect. Maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent, maybe a teacher, a mentor, or even a pastor. And so, if you find yourself in that position, just be aware. And that's why that I pray on a regular basis, "Lord, please don't ever let me misrepresent your truth. I'm charged with sharing your word. Don't ever let me say the wrong thing." I hope that he honors that request. If he doesn't, and I've made a couple of mistakes, I'll come and I'll say, "I got that wrong." But finally, in closing today, I have one more thing to say, and it's simply this: may the word be the master of your words from now on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us your word to guide us as we strive to live our lives the way that you have called us to. Lord, it is a labor of love. It is something that we do because we know that you first loved us. And we desire to please you. Lord, may the words of our mouths glorify you in everything that we say and in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.